see you.
Couldn't see her.
She was in my class. Good. Do you remember the Paul Goodman and Sarah? You do? Okay. Okay. Paul's a great a year ahead of her. Yeah. They've got this thing. So glad to see you again. Glad you folks are here. We really are. Join me in our opening prayer. Almighty God, who has given a day of rest to thy people, and through thy Spirit in the church hast consecrated the first day of the week to be a perpetual memorial of thy Son's resurrection, grant that we may so use thy gift that refreshed and strengthened in soul and body, we may serve thee faithfully all the days of our life, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Stand.
Like the whiteness of the
believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let the boys and girls come forward at this time. I have something I would like to talk with you about. Would you come? What a nice crowd. This is great. We have guests among us, too. Have a seat. Good.
It's right here, boy.
Yeah, right here.
By
yeah.
By this man.
That'll work. Good. Well, I'm glad to see you. All of us are. I want to remind you what God has given to us. Tell me something. Can you all see with these eyes? Can you see out there? We have glasses, it helps, doesn't it? Yeah. Tell me something else. Can you taste food? Does it taste good? Do you like a hamburger? Do you like hamburgers? You taste it, don't you?
I taste it.
Can you give me five? Did you feel your hand touch my hand? Did you feel it? Yeah, you did it, didn't you? Can you hear with these things that stick out from my head? I don't smell too well. I'm stopped up. But can you smell something when it's good? Or if it's smoke, it's bad. Can you smell? You can't. Are you stopped up like me today? Oh, good. I'm going to get cleared out, though. Boys and girls, I want to tell you something. God gave us our five senses so we can see and do all the other things we can do with our senses. Give me five. Yeah. See, I felt his hand. Now, what God wants us to do with our five senses is to do things for him. To glorify him, to praise his name, to see things that need to be done for God. That's why we have sight. To speak a good word to somebody. Have you ever seen anybody crying? Have you ever cried? He cries. Sometimes if you just reach and hug him a little bit, it helps. That's what we're supposed to do with touch. We're supposed to help people who are hurting. So I want you to do something. Today, I want you to use one or more of your five senses to glorify God and to say, God, you've given me something to do because I see somebody that I can say a good word to. I can say, I love you, too. You have a mama and a daddy, don't you? I bet that's they sitting right over there, right? You can glorify God by telling them that you love them. Did you know that? You don't ever do that, though, do you? Of course you do. And all of us can do that. And in doing that, we're doing what God wants us to do with our five senses. Okay? Let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you for the gift of life and for our ability to see and to understand where you want us to work for you. So bless us in every way and help us glorify your name and lift up your name as Lord and Savior. Amen. And thank you very much for coming up. And I'll see you next time. You've heard a number of prayer concerns. They've already been mentioned. Let's put them on our prayer list and keep them going up to the Lord in prayer through the medium of approaching God. Well, Glenn, I guess the season's over for Drake. But he plays basketball. That'll work. We've had in our midst the granddaddy of one of the really outstanding stars of Rockwood High School. And it's been fun to watch Drake play football. He's either first or second in all of the offensive categories for that particular league. I've seen it come out in the newspaper. So you tell Drake that we're very proud of him. And we expect him to get 20 points every game. I wonder what he'll do with that. But anyway, it's been fun to watch him. He's a born athlete. There are other accomplishments of our people that we need to be thankful for, not just the concerns, but also accomplishments. Let's remember Keith Easter's wife. She has issues with macular degeneration. This week, she's got some doctor's appointments, so let's remember her. And we've already heard of other prayer concerns, many of which are listed in our bulletin. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings upon us and ask him to help us be faithful with our prayer life. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, you have created us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Thank you for the privilege of prayer, this method of communication with you, O God, which draws us closer to you and draws you closer to us. Thank you for this privilege. And as we approach your throne of grace this morning, in a corporate prayer representing the entire church, we simply want you to know that we're grateful for your watch care over us as a church. We are thankful that you instill within our members the willingness and the abilities to do things for you and for your realm. We are grateful for the clothes giveaway that your people, members of this church and others, have conducted these last two weekends. For the joy that having additional clothes has given to your people who have found themselves in hard times. Thank you for these, and thank you for other manifestations that you are looking after this year, church, for the approaching Advent and the musical presentation, which is just 2 weeks from today. We're grateful for all the talent that we see around here. And even as we lift our eyes beyond this congregation, you've given us the ability to see throughout your realm, throughout where we walk, throughout where we live and where we work, that your Holy Spirit is most active. Let us find ways to witness to the presence of the love of Christ wherever we see it, wherever we find it. But Lord, we're quick to recognize that there are many aspects of life itself which are not pretty. We recognize the presence of sin in this world. Sometimes it even encroaches upon us. And we confess to you that we have fallen prey to the evil one. And we beg to help us repent. Pull us away from the magnetic force fields of bad habits, of poor attitudes, of outright doing things wrongly. Please help us, O Lord, that our hearts may no longer be estranged from you, that they may no longer be restless, but help us find the way back home, that our hearts can indeed rest with you. Lord, we pray for the international situation. So much of life is falling apart for people in distant lands, as well as for people here at home. So God, wherever there is brokenness, send forth your healing spirit and use us, O Lord, use us to accomplish what you need to have done in your world. And when we see success, we would give you all the praise as is most due. These things we pray in the name of the Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Spirits will deliver and provide our robe and guide.
come now to the time in our service when we have the opportunity to give back to God some of what he has allowed us to earn. So let the ushers come forward for the giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. Opportunities you give us to earn money. We certainly enjoy spending money. Let us also enjoy giving money that is yours back to you through our tithes, and also giving beyond our tithes, which we call an offering to you. Accept this, our money, in the name of the Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our scriptures today are taken in two places, found in two places in the Holy Scriptures. First of all, we find in 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, we find the scriptures from St. Paul that discuss the coming of the Holy Spirit in judgment. Now, these scriptures are among the earliest that we find in all of the Holy Bible, especially the New Testament. And these scriptures also are the earliest that St. Paul wrote. As you know, he wrote approximately 15 letters in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians is attributed to be the earliest letter, and we have this particular insight regarding the end of time in chapter number 5. Now, what's very interesting to study is Paul's thought. These are his earliest writings. Romans will be his writing toward the end of his career. And to compare the thoughts of St. Paul from 1 Thessalonians to Romans, we find how he progresses in his thinking about many things regarding Jesus and specifically about the end of time. So now then, let us hear the word of the Lord as it is found in the letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, the first one, chapter number 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. And there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you all are children of light and children of the day. We're not of the night or darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night and those who are drunk get drunk at night, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. And then the gospel lesson is found in Matthew, chapter number 25. Now, in this chapter, Jesus is describing to us what it is that the kingdom of heaven is like. So he has got three major parts of chapter 25. The first one has to do with the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. The second, the parable of the talents. And the third, the judgment of the nations. Today, we will look at the second one, which has to do with the parable of the talents. So from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, let us hear again the word of the Lord. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me the 5 talents. See, I've made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the two talents also came forward saying, Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So, take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. And here end these readings from the Holy Scriptures. Will you join me in prayer once again? Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, our lectionary scriptures, and I use two of the 4 lectionary scriptures listed in our revised common lectionary, they lead us into the area of the Christian year known as the coming of Christ. This Sunday, we're dealing with being ready. Ready for the coming, ready for accountability, ready for judgment. Next Sunday, we will deal with the coming of Christ the King. And then the following Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. That deals with the coming of Jesus in 4 different ways. One of which, of course, is Christmas. So, during the Christian year, which starts with the first Sunday of Advent, usually the last Sunday of November, the first Sunday of December, we see mapped out in front of us through the scriptures the entire life of Jesus. To follow the lectionary means that we preachers don't get to preach on our pet themes every Sunday, and it allows us to preach for the entire year on the life of Jesus and God's plan of salvation. So then, today we deal with what St. Paul had to say about being ready. He said, look, be careful how you live. Don't be drawn into things of darkness or night. Be drawn into things of light, for you are children of light, he says. Children of light. And he said to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, put on the hope of salvation. These are our defensive mechanisms. Obviously, when bad things are happening, we who follow Jesus are to think of good things to take care of the bad that's overwhelming us. The adage is to make lemonade out of lemons of life. That's our job. That is having the breastplate of love and faith and the helmet of hope. We do this every day. And then Paul says, be aware. The day of the Lord will be like a thief in the night. They just show up. When was the last time you and I were surprised? I came in from being outside this week, and I was walking through the house, Virginia was coming from the bedroom into the hallway, and there I was. She went, oh! I should have waited longer because she's always talking to herself, and I could have found out what's going on if I'd listened longer. But she was surprised. She went, oh! Now, that's what it will be like, the thief in the night. It'll come upon us. And we're not going to be ready because we're surprised. But how do we get ready? St. Paul says that we are to be ready. Matthew shows us how to get ready. So we'll segue into the gospel lesson by the very famous parable of the talents. And we don't understand really what's going on here, because we may not understand about the talent. For us, a talent is like Glenn's grandson, Drake, who is a born athlete. You watch him move on the gridiron. You see, he never wastes any motion. They're always purposive. That is a talent for him. We all have different talents. We're gifted in certain ways. That's the meaning of our word, talent. But we have got to erase that from our memory and go back to the first century, and we'll see what talent meant for Matthew. A talent for Matthew was a huge sum of money. So now you've got a man who has slaves. And many times, slaves of the masters were very trustworthy. He got his slave from another country, bought him perhaps, or her, and then put him in charge of his estate. He had what he thought were three very trustworthy slaves. And he's going on a trip. He is off and running. Now, to show you how much a talent is, it's a weight of silver, and a single talent was worth in that day 15 years' wages of an ordinary laborer. 15 years' wages. That is a chunk of change. But this is what he's dispersing. One slave gets 5, another gets 2, still another gets 1. And he says, I'll be back. I'll be back. Now, the 5-talent person immediately trades, invests, and makes 5 more talents. Same with the 2-talent person. 2 more talents. But the single talent dude, he was scared. He was afraid to live. He was afraid of incurring his master's wrath in case he lost the money. So he didn't even put it in the bank. He was afraid of bankers. He buried it. All right, eventually the master comes back. Now's the time of accountability. Now, this is something we can remember about our own abilities to be ready. I would suggest that each day in our morning prayers that we look at our assets, what we've got to offer God. We look at our responsibilities, where we're going, what we're going to do. And then we make in our planner, oh my goodness, there are more planners out there than you can shake a stick at. There are planners in print, there are planners online. Your smartphone can have a planner or 4 or 5 in it. But you plan your work, and then you work your plan. So you live your life, you know what you can offer God, you know where it is you're going, where your responsibilities are, and at the end of day, when you have your evening prayers, now's the time for you to be accountable to yourself and to God. What did I do well today for you, God? What did I do well for myself and my family? What did I not do very well in? So in the evening, we have an accountability time. Now then, if we practice this every day, we can practice in the whole stage of life for our last day. when the master comes and says, what have you done with your life? So we can practice being ready if we work at it every day. So then, the master comes. What have you done with the gifts and graces I gave to you? 5-talent person comes up, says, look, I made 5 more for you. Oh, the master was delighted. The master said, well done, good and faithful servant, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of the master. What? He didn't get to quit? He didn't get to sit back and retire? Draw his Social Security and have a good time spending money? What? Nope. He had more things to do. And this is the way of the realm of God. We don't get to quit. And I'm convinced that when we die and leave this realm and go to the heavenly realm known as the kingdom of God, we'll still have things to do. I never will forget, one of my secretaries many, many years ago gave me a coffee cup. And the coffee cup had its cartoon, in a cartoon character, this person sitting on a cloud. His harp is broken. And the caption was, I wish I'd brought a magazine. So when we get to our heavenly presence, I am convinced that we will move from grace to grace to grace, getting closer and closer and closer to the Lord's throne of grace, and we will get to help people and be helped by people who have less grace than we, less faith than we, and who we have more faith than they, and we help each other in the heavenly realm like we do in this realm. So we don't get to quit, folks. We don't get to quit at all. I will let you be in charge of even more responsibility. Enter into the joy of the master. Now, I want to parse this a little bit. The joy of the master. Most of us, when we read this parable, want to talk about the dude that buried his talent. And we want to discuss the wrath and the gnashing of teeth. I don't want to do that today. I want us to think about what it is like to be joyful, to have God say, well done, good and faithful slave. Enter into the joy of your master. Joy, for the Bible, is deep. He goes way down inside of our being. It's blessedness. It's knowing that you and I have been used by God for God's purposes. I get so frustrated when many translators of the Bible translate the Beatitudes, happy are those who do such and such. Blessedness is not happiness. Happening is a happenstance. It comes, it goes. You can be happy one moment and absolutely furious the next moment. Have any of you ever done that? You know what I'm saying? If you've never done that, you've never watched the University of Tennessee play football. You know what I'm saying? Say amen. Now we've had some things to be happy about. Why? They score more points than Kentucky did yesterday. Now we've got another chance. What about next week? And we'll have to go and see. That's what's meant by happiness. It can be here right now, and it can fly away that fast. Blessedness, on the other hand, knows we're in the midst of a condition of life. We're doing something. We're succeeding. We're happy sometimes. We're sad sometimes. But it doesn't matter because we're blessed all the time. We're being used by God, and we know it. And that lets us be very, very joyful. So the blessedness of God, the joy of the master, deals with the nature of God and our participation in it. What is God? God is love. Love has many, many meanings. I love you, we can say to our beloved. We can also say, I love apple pie a la mode. And the word is the same. You follow me? We can also say, God loves us. And we can also say, I love God. But the most important aspect of God is found in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's right, the world, the cosmos. That means God loves people who sin. God loves the brokenness. God wants us to find ways with him to overcome the sinful, the bad attitudes, the murderers, those people in the Middle East who took the head off another American recently. We are to find ways to love them, and that's going to be hard because we don't want to do that, do we? But yet, if God loves the world, we are as well. And those people are in the world too. So we've got a real issue here, and we can't figure it out on our own. That's why we remember our enemies in prayer. That's what God's going to do. He's going to help us. He'll help them. I told you blessedness wasn't happiness. I'm not happy about that. But yet I must pray for them. You too. You must pray for those. So God so loved the world and everything in it that he gave his only son, so everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. The quality of life that is blessedness. That is doing what God does in the world. Love keeps us from perishing. We know what it's like to feel love, do we? Do we not? Who do you know that loves you? Do you love them back? What's that like? What is it like when your or my beloved is in a peck of trouble? Are we not resonating that trouble? Do we not feel anxious when they are in trouble, get sick, lose their health, or find themselves in a bad way? Like in a car crash or something. We get sick at our stomach because our beloved is possibly hurt. That's what love is. It's a tie. We know this. And to participate in the love of God is to participate in the joy of the Master. The Master's joy is love. It is love that's creating. Love that's comforting. Love that's present to make situations bad and uplifting situation. You've already heard what the Lord has laid upon a number of people in our church about clothes for people who need help. I visited yesterday, clothes all over the fellowship hall, everywhere. And people would come in. They were blessed. And our people were blessed for having them take away, without any money changing hands, some clothes they can use. Since I'm no longer a teacher at Hiawassee College, I gave away my t-shirts yesterday. Virginia commented, she says, that's a very nice t-shirt, nice and thick. And then she told me, somebody, a guy put it on and was so pleased. I said, yes. That's the kind of love, blessedness I'm talking about. That happens when we allow the love of God to come through us and be creative in helping God's people in this realm. This church does this on a very regular basis. I'll give you another example. I came upon some of our members just yesterday afternoon as I was leaving the church, Dan and Carson. Right out front, they had sequestered a gentleman and his border collie. You know what these lovely people did? They bought for that dog a dog blanket and put it on him. I thought to myself, you know, I'm not surprised. Word has it, Dan and Carson like dogs. But I'm not surprised that they saw that dog out in the town with this gentleman. You can see him on occasion. I wanted to hurry him across Gateway the other day because both of them are going too slowly, even for 40 mile an hour traffic. But they made it. But that dog's got a blanket. And I saw the blessedness in the face of that dog, yep, as well as the happiness in John, that's his name, and these two people. What caused them to do such a thing? Would any of us have done that? I wouldn't have given it another thought. I'm not a dog person in that way. But they are. So God gave them the talent, you see, to care about the canine population and do something about the cold, which is affecting all of us. That is what it means to be blessed. That is what it means to hear the master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little bit. I'll find you some more dogs to give blankets to." That is where that goes. Do you follow me? There'll be more and more and more for them to do because God saw that they reached out and they made a difference with this dog and that dog's owner. This is how it works. This is how we prepare for that day when we will be held accountable. Now, over in the Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes writes, there's a time to be born and a time to die. All of us know this. Every cute, cuddly little baby that's born has a date with death at some point. It's the way of the realm in which we live. And we will be held accountable. I'm giving you all of this, little baby. All of this, you'll develop your talents in our understanding of the word. You'll develop your opportunities and you'll have a span of life. Because I'm going to step aside. I'll be there with you in spirit, but I'm going to step aside. And then one day, one day, I'm going to ask you, what did you do in this realm with everything that I've given to you? What did you do? What did you do with it? And will you and I be able to say, "Well, Master, you gave me 5 talents, here are 5 more. Master, you gave me 2 talents, here's 2 more. Will we be able to say that? I think we will. But some, unfortunately, and it's in the Bible, so I'm going to have to include it, sometimes we know of people that bury the talent. These are the people that want things never to change. They're like the scribes and the Pharisees of our Lord's day. They knew they had the law and they buried the law in their ground and they put up a fence around it and nobody's going to come in and reinterpret the law. No, I know how it's supposed to be. And you're not going to give me any other interpretation. Unfortunately, we know of people that will not change. They may want the latest medicine to get themselves better. They wouldn't want the medicine of the good old days, even though they want to keep the good old days. You follow me? They want the latest medical developments. No, I'm wrong. Sometimes people are afraid even to go to a doctor. I have a very good friend who says, "I don't want to go to a doctor. They just make you sick." But you get my drift. Sometimes we come upon people whose minds are closed and they are not going to change. But yet they will be answerable to God. What have you done with your life and the talents I've given you from the day you were born to this day when you die? What have you done? Now, if we practice, as I suggested, each morning, looking at the assets, each evening, saying, "God, here's my checklist. I did this, 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 and this, but I didn't get that done." Then we will practice for that day, the day of the Lord, when he says, "All right, Bill Fowler, what'd you do? What'd you do?" And what can I say? Well, you know me. I can use the old mouth. I'll think of something. Well, God, I couldn't fly a jet plane. I wasn't talented, and I don't have the eyes. But I can preach, and I can teach, and I can pastor. And I did that my whole career. I'm going to tell God that. I might not have been the best. I might have goofed up, might have gotten lazy every now and then, but I tried. And that's far more than the dude that buried the talent can say. You follow me? And what will you say? Be ready. Be ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 413. You'll see the words up there on the screen. A charge to keep I have. There may be those individuals who'd like to unite in the fellowship of the church. Please come forward as we sing this hymn. Still others who may wish to come forward for prayer, please come and kneel about the altar rail as we sing this great hymn of the faith. Stand as we sing. Salvation, for God has given us so much. Let us glorify His name as we give to God's people of our talents. Go in peace.